try to cover him, catch two and three in the next couple of weeks, and I got everything in the first book. We run this through the turn again, the Bible. Word up here, we gave you last week, for those of you that didn't get it, that word means the first picture of the Redeemer in the Bible. And that was the much first picture for the morning. Then this is chapter 1. I'm going to go here to Will. Verse 26. Verse 26. I'm going to read a few verses. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over the all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The image of God created he him, male and female created he him. God blessed them, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so forth and so forth. Down in chapter 2, if you will. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. I just started writing about this, if you will. Go over here, if you will, to verse 15, chapter 2. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to till or thresh it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 22, I'm down here for you. Now let's go to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh and skin thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman, because he was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now then, keep all that in mind, if you will, and just turn over to Matthew chapter 19, if you will. I'm going to try to cover a lot of territory this morning, so be prepared to take notes or whatever you do. Chapter 19 of Matthew. John chapter 19, verse 34. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross just before he died, or as he died, so one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith, or right away, immediately, there came out blood and water. Now then, with all of this stuff in mind, what we're going to make this morning, what is going to be last one? So we're looking for the first picture of the Redeemer in Genesis. And I believe we looked at it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, chapter 2, when God created Eve, he put Adam to sleep. By the way, the first record of an operation. Adam was put to sleep. God God opened up his side, took out a rib, and made it vomit. Then he closed her back up. In both accounts, there we have a perfect picture of Jesus Christ and the church. When Christ died on the cross, he took a spear in the side, and out came water and blood, which presses in the long time away. Water and blood. Alright? You're right. Water represents the Word of God. And by the way, let's take this and prove that. Water represents, there are two things that give life in this world. You know what they are? Blood and water. Literal blood and literal water. When the blood stops flowing in your veins, you're dead. You can't live unless it's drunken. Because the blood carries everything in your body, carries everything in your brain. That's why I don't think very well. Blood, everything doesn't work very well in my old age. Blood carries all the nutrients to the brain, takes it down, the blood flushes out all the bad parts of the blood, gives you life. You know what else gives you life? Word of God. Called water. When you take a bath, what do you do? Water. You clean, that's what you cook with it. You clean your house with it. You give it to your dog, your cat, and you didn't thank God. Water. One of the most important things in the world. Water. You cannot live without it. Now, this is the funny thing. Where you can rain and you have flood, and the dams break, and the rivers, and everything that flows into the land, and all that water, and no loss of it will be good. Don't have any good. Water. Isn't that nice? Water. Just clean water. There's clean water from God's word. His word. Father's water. So let's go through a few places and take a look at this. Then we'll get back to the subject. John chapter 3 is here. Chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You must be born of the water. Go to John chapter 15, if you will. Turn right in your Bible here, John chapter 15. Verse 3. Christ talking to his disciples, he said, "Now ye are clean, clean, through what? The word which I have spoken unto you." Now just keep turning right into the Bible a little further here. Go to Ephesians chapter 25. We're going to get back to the person. So we can follow the one verse from now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Chapter 5, verse 26, "that he might, that Jesus Christ, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." What does the water represent? The word of God. It cleanses. It satisfies. Now just keep turning right in your Bible. I hope you're writing all these down. 1 John chapter 5 as well. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll just keep turning in your Bible to get First John chapter 5, 1 verse 6, if you will. Well, let's back up a little bit here. Verse 4, "whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by," notice these words now, "water and blood." Water and blood. What is the water? The word of God. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, What is this now? Take those attention. And the water, which is washed before the God. Now, little water doesn't bear witness, does it? It's water. But the water, bears witness to the Word of God and the blood. And these three are three in one. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the blood of Christ, three in one. Imagine how important the blood of Christ is. The blood of Christ is so important. Now then, back to Genesis, if you will. I hope you got all those wrote down. Back to Genesis, one more place. Go to Hebrews chapter, I just come with one verse here, verse 12. For the word of God is living or lively, but literally the word is living. The word of God is living. What do we say it takes to be alive? Water and blood, right? What does it take to have eternal life? The blood of Christ when you hear the word. The word of God, the blood of Christ, cleanses you. The word of God is alive, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, even the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? Take him in trouble. I don't like taking him. He's in trouble. The Lord's going to judge him. God's already judged him. God knows what he's thinking. He's a liar, a thief, and an antichrist. You got the impression I don't like taking him. You don't have that impression. I don't like it. And I don't like a lot of people like it. He's a liar and a hypocrite. And he'll say and do anything to get his hands on your money. That's what politics is all about. Money. Money, money, money. Anyhow, enough of that. I'm going to get started. I started. Okay, back in Genesis, if you will. Chapter 2. Back to where we were before, and I went through all this to make some points. Chapter 2, verse 21. We read this before, and I'll read it again. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and said thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman because he was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and his things of flesh be one flesh. No fuss, no. Ladies, let me tell you what. Come from the modern. You got a problem talking about your husband. Tell him, don't feel mommy and daddy. You got a problem talking about your wife. The Bible says, don't say mom and dad, leave your two wives and be one person. That's what the Bible says. Talk it over, work it out. Don't feel the mommy and daddy. Or dad and me couldn't do that. They were mommy and daddy, the original mommy and daddy. But I want you to notice in verse 23 here, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now then, let me get right down to what I'm trying to make, point I'm trying to make. Adam and Eve were a type of Jesus Christ and the church. You know what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross? He gave himself for the church. You might want to write down Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. He loves the church and he gave himself for him. Adam loved his wife and he gave himself for her. Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, I don't believe that picture. Well, turn up over to Romans chapter 5, hold your place. I'm going to come right back. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. And well, I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. But that's good for nothing, old sinner. Adam was a type of Christ. Well, notice what the Bible says. Verse 14, Romans chapter 5. I'm just going to quote one verse. Thank you, Moses, in the Bible. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, they both affected his last few words, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam, chapter 5, Romans verse 14, was a figure of him that was to come, or Jesus Christ, a type of. See, how in the world can sinful man, well, it's amazing to me about the Bible. It's different. I don't know about you. But when you begin to study and learn it, and you begin to dwell on it and think about it, and you take the time to do it, the Bible fits together perfectly. Now, turn over here to Romans, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go back to the will. Notice one verse, verse 30. Notice what Adam said back in Genesis. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Isn't that what Adam said? Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of this body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I don't know whenever you if you saw a difference in the ministry. Nowhere to go when you tell people, man. Chapter 5. There's no need to go anywhere else in the Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. The perfect scenario on marriage. And why is it so? Back up here, if you will, to verse 23. Verse 23. When a husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus is the Savior of the body. I'm going to get on that probably, I'm going to go on later, maybe next week. He is the thing, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it, lady? I hope he's subject to my husband and everything. But me, don't. And watch your very small part. Therefore, if you were looking, verse 25, husband, love your wife. Even as Christ also loved the church and did what? Gave himself for it. Is that what Adam did? God put him to sleep, cut a hole in his side, had to be blood there, did there not? Had to be blood. Did he have blood flowing in his veins? But he did. Had to be blood, shed his blood for his wife, whom he loved, by the way. And so the name of that subject, let's go with this too. Now, that he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If there's anything you ought to understand by now, it's the word of God is symbolic of water, and water is symbolic of the word of God. Back to Genesis chapter 2, if you will. Now, I want you to notice in verse 17, God told Adam in chapter 2, that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then I want you to look on down in verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. You know what? God commanded Adam, did he not? Don't eat of the tree in the garden, Adam. Don't eat of it, because in the day that you do that, you will die. And you might make a note in the Bible, there are two, this is twofold, spiritual and physical. Physical death and spiritual death. And it's been that way ever since. And once you trust Christ as your Savior, you can remain that way, and you'll die in the church of hell because you are spiritual and physically dead. But anyway, God told Adam, well, how did he find out? Adam must have told us, right? You know what, folks? Study your Bible, fellas. Be the head of the house. Learn the Bible. When your wife asks you a question about the Bible, be able to answer it. Well, what does the Bible say about keeping in tongue? Wrong answers. Tongues are demonic, and then go to the Bible and prove it. Tongues are demonic. Be able to make that statement and prove it. That's the loss of brain thought. Anyhow, God told Adam, and Adam told Eve. And then in chapter 3, guess who the serpent went to? He went to the one with the second-hand information, didn't he? Boy, this is how it works every time. This is how it works. Went to the one with second-hand information, and she said, and she began to defend herself, told him the truth, and then she began to add to it. And then finally on down, we see that Adam and Eve both fell. But I want you to notice something very, very important here. Adam did not have to be a priest. He didn't have to. He made first. Well, Satan tempted him. By the way, Satan was not a snake. I don't like snake, but Satan was not a snake. The Bible tells us that the angels appeared in human form, did they not? All through the Bible. Satan did that. The word serpent, he took him. It's the type of his personality. He was not a literal snake. I know he could come up with it. And the apple. No indication in the Bible of the forbidden fruit was an apple. I think it was a pomegranate. I can't prove that either. But anyway, okay. And so Adam didn't have to deal with forbidden, but why did he? Why did he do it? Well, the answer, we're going to use the answer, is very simple. Think about logic. He ate the fruit, right? God told him, he said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. There's a problem. All of a sudden, Eve is a sinner. She has a different nature than Adam altogether. They cannot have a relationship. It would be impossible. Think about it. But Adam, being the loving husband that he was, knew that God said be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And knew they must be in a relationship. But Eve is now, imagine this if you will. Eve is now a sinner. For Adam and Eve to have children and have a natural, loving relationship, either Eve would have to have a complete turnaround, which is impossible, or Adam would have to take on the same thing as Eve. Think about it. Wouldn't he decide to do it? His wife, right? He knew that that relationship was right there. He would have to take on the same nature that he did, Adam. You may not believe that. However, turning the Bible to the will, First Timothy chapter 2 is the will. I'm not picking on you ladies today. I didn't write this Bible. And let's begin, if you will, here. I will, therefore, in verse 8, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with boy that thirst for women. Same taking. And sobriety, not with the braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. So which becometh women professing godliness with these verses. Let me just stop there and point something out. As long as I'm reading these verses. I'm making up a new new brochure type thing for our church. Here's the ball business. I really made a double for all that. And one of the things I put in there, we don't have a dress code in our church. I think the only requirement that we should have is a woman look at a woman. So a woman can act and look at a man, so she can act like a man. She can dress like a man, That's anyway, first one, let the woman learn and find golf and testing. But I want to find the worst. But anyway, but I suffer not a woman to keep nor a certain story of a man lest it be in silence. But he will not answer the question. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. God told Adam. Don't even bring Adam. Adam told Eve. I don't want to know where Adam was when the first one was deceived. What, he's putting his God? What, his coward or what? What the heck was he doing? I don't know that. But anyway, but Adam, now pay attention to this deal. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Hold it. If Adam wasn't deceived and the woman was deceived, then why did sin come upon Adam? I don't understand that, do you? Well, of course I do. God told Adam. Adam didn't mistake God. Don't eat the fruit, Adam. But Adam told Eve. God told Adam, don't eat the fruit, Adam. And God should have told Eve, don't eat the fruit, Eve. Yeah. Well, she did, but he did, but she didn't break the law because she didn't disobey God. She disobeyed Adam. Adam disobeyed God. Well, Adam was put between the rock and the hard place. He loved his wife, and he wanted to be a good husband. He wanted to obey God, too, but he couldn't have it both ways. And so Adam said, well, God created it for me. Well, that's a good one. I use that most of the time. Well, God, you gave it to me. That's where you want it. That works. Adam did it. I'm human. I can do it. No. But then, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Actually, but anyway, but this is the next verse. I want you to pay attention to this. Verse 2. But, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, he shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and fear in on this Christ. Wait a minute. Does that mean that the woman has to have a baby to be saved? If you rephrase that the way it should be written, he shall be saved by bearing a child. You know what that means? The Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. God told Adam and Eve, I'm going to prepare the Savior. They were preacher, I don't believe that either. Well, from Acts the Bible, chapter 4 of Genesis. I know we're kind of covering a lot of territory here, but I hope it makes sense, but really got to get through all this. A lot of Bible to cover. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis, if you will. In verse 1, chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. In reality, it's just me. I have begotten a man, even the Lord. He was looking for the Savior. Looking and expecting the Savior, how terribly disturbing it must have been in a while. You ever realize that in the book, how many persons there are? We go off our subject briefly. We have the first day, the first night, first 24 hour period. So we have the first operation, Adam and Eve, the first marriage, Adam and Eve, the first commitment, Adam and Eve, the first child born, Adam and Eve, the first murder, Cain and Abel, the first real offering, Cain and Abel, the first dispute between a worse and great righteousness. That goes on all the time, isn't it? And then you have the first account of the ACL music. When Cain says, it's too much for me, I can't bear my I can't bear it. Well, you killed your brother, you dummy. Then we got the foundation of the American Civil War. I didn't want to start that now, but I thought I'd have to. There are an awful lot of firsts in Houston. That's not the first operation. God operated more at it, but God did. By the way, the word created means made. So let's go back there briefly. We've got 2 minutes left. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, one more time. Genesis chapter 2, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. This is the word we told you this last week, before I got off on this, last week, you probably remember that. I hope you don't. You probably do. But he made her a woman means to build, or actually begin to build. So what in the world does that mean? Well, turn back over to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Ephesians chapter 2, just turn in your Bible there, nothing to it really. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 18, that will be a few verses. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners or sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. Now take those verses the next couple of verses here. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, he becomes a perfect picture of the church. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and Adam becomes a perfect picture of the Savior. In that, he gives off for his wife. He built, or the beginning of being built, God built the woman, and continued to do that, and he's building his church. They are a perfect picture. And let's go here and prove that one more time. Back there, Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll close this probably. Beginning, if you will, in verse 22, wives submit themselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to her own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Remember, we talked about Adam loving his wife, and his wife gave himself for her. Two things. First of all, he gave his rib. And second of all, he gave up his relationship with God for his wife. And let me just point something else out there, if I may. You cannot imagine how many young men I've seen want to be in the ministry, but for some reason or other, their wives didn't want to have anything to do with them. Don't forget, they gave up everything to their wife. They could have been serving the Lord and had all the peace and joy and strength and the Lord Jesus Christ gave all the life. Well, come to the wife. She doesn't want to have anything to do with them. You know how hard it is to be. Husbands, love your wife, even if Christ loved you, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or anything, any such thing, but as to be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, I've seen people that think that they love their wife. It's there. Bible says that they don't love themselves. They don't want them. They're self-centered. They might not love themselves. awful stuff. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, his bones. For this cause shall a man meet his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, Paul said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you know everything in this point has to do with Christ and the church? Adam and Eve were a perfect type of Christ and the church. The blood of Christ and the water represent everything that Adam and Eve did, symbolic of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I don't have to use the picture. So love his wife, even as himself, and the wife Jesus, he reverenced her husband. I'm okay, don't speak. You can do that. Remember the triangle we drew last week? Everybody get that? The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the closer you are with one another. I'm going to do it again. I like to repeat myself. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. And Jesus Christ. I don't mean very and very, by the way. I mean man and woman. Jesus Christ, the closer you work through life for Jesus Christ, the closer you are. Isn't that a simple concept? I don't know why people can't understand it. That's how it works. The closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, husband, wife, and always remember the wife is the type of the church. Christ loves the church, gave himself for it, go that far. Like an awful long head goes. Go that far. Isn't that the very head jump there? Not the God. Right? It's the church. You know? Same concept. Same closing. Oh, let me show you this. I've done this. I haven't got any money. Well, I don't have any money. Oh, good. Anyhow, Jesus Christ died on the cross, right? If this hand represents me, the Bible says I'm a sinner. And we're going to get some new tracks. Sure, Kevin has some tracks printed. He's got his name on them. And I'm pretty happy that Kevin has been trying to do something for the Lord for a long time. Anyway, the Bible says you and I are sinners, right? So if this hand represents me, this represents my sin. My sin, he's faithful. He's faithful. I can go to hell and pay for it. I'm just going to agree with you. And yes, I can do that. I can do it. But I don't have to. All I have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of my sin. What? You hear the day, you don't know you're going to have one to die right now. First step. You know the Lord. I'll put somebody to say, Lord, I believe you died. Isn't that great? You know what happens to you with that? You're washed by the water, which is the Word of God, and the blood of Christ. Then you're washed away. You have eternal life. You become part of the church, which is the bride and the body of Christ. You're part of this flesh and blood. So, it's amazing, isn't it? Not? The Bible says, this is true. The wonderful thing to do. The 10 words of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is the truth. It's absolutely amazing. It's awesome. It is alive. It judges. And dear Lord, we just thank you for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, shed his blood, and then he gave us his word to prove it. We just thank you for him. Salvation is absolutely true. This is our faith in Jesus.